You've probably heard of people investing their money into the stock market, trying to find the next hot stock, which, you know what, if you want to put a little bit of money into that, I'm not going to stop you. But make sure you're also thinking about...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
If you ask the internet what are the best purchases you should make in your 20s, you'll see people telling you what watch you need to buy, what clothes you should be wearing, how you should be smelling like, and what car you need to be driving. That way you can look like a young, sophisticated professional. But what I want to do is a little bit different. And I want to talk about 11 of the best purchases you should make in your 20s that will set you up for much more wealth and much more freedom in the future just because you use your 20s the right way. And this can set you up for the rest of your life to be financially free and never have to worry about money again. So let's jump right in, and let me start with number one, buying the economy. You've probably heard of people investing their money into the stock market, trying to find the next hot stock, which, you know what, if you want to put a little bit of money into that, I'm not going to stop you. But make sure you're also thinking about just buying the economy. Now, here's a chart showing the S&P 500, the largest 500 companies in the stock market, for the last 90 years. Now, what you see is despite the market crashes, despite the recessions, the market has continued to grow. See, the problem with trying to find the next hot stock and investing your money into individual companies is most people don't know when to buy, they don't know when to sell, and they don't know if the company that they're investing in is actually a good investment or not. However, if we take a look at the stock market, like the S&P 500, what you'll see is that the average historical return is 10% a year. That means our stock market, on average, has grown by around 10% a year. Now, the S&P 500, this thing that I keep throwing around, is a term for an index, meaning a group of the 500 largest companies in the stock market. And instead of you just going to go out and find the next hot company, you can just put your money into something like the S&P 500, and now you own a piece of the 500 largest companies in the stock market. Now, of course, I got to give you a disclaimer. I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do, and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you this as a point of starting your education. That way you understand the different options that you have, because of course, investing has risks. You are never guaranteed to make money when you invest. In fact, you will probably lose money at some point. So make sure you always do your own due diligence and never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. But for example, if you went onto the stock market, you went onto any stock brokerage and you bought a share of SPY, what you're doing now when you buy SPY is you're buying a piece of the S&P 500 index. So when you buy one share of SPY, you're buying a little bit of the 500 largest companies in the stock market. Now, if one of these 500 largest companies in the stock market goes bankrupt, you're still okay because you have 499 other companies in this fund. And then this fund will kick out the bankrupt company and put in a new company. So it can be managed a whole lot easier on your end because you know that historically we have seen market crashes. We have seen recessions. Our economy has seen market crashes and recessions pretty much every decade for the last century. But our economy has been resilient throughout this. And now if you just keep putting your money into something like the economy, well, now you're owning a piece of the strongest economy in the world. And you want to hold on to it for the long term because we have seen historically that this has worked. Does it guarantee it'll work in the future? No, but we've seen through history that this has worked in the past. Now, to show you the power of this and why it's so important for you to start investing sooner rather than later, let's assume that you invest $250 a month, less than $10 a day. You do this for 40 years, and even as you make more money, let's assume that you don't invest any more than $250 a month, and you get the average 10% return, which is what I was just talking about. If you do this after 40 years, your investment account is going to be worth over $1.4 million, almost $1.5 million. But if now, let's say that you have the ability to invest even more money, let's assume that you can invest $1,000 a month, and you do this for the next 40 years until you retire, you get the same 10% return. Now you're going to retire with more than $5.8 million in your account because you had these 40 years to do it. But now let's assume that you weren't as financially astute in your 20s. Maybe you start in your mid-30s and now you invest the same $1,000 a month, and the only thing that you change is you do it for 25 years instead of 40 years, but you get the same 10% return. Now, in this instance, even though you're investing $1,000 a month, you're going to retire with around $1.3 million. Still a lot of money, but it's nowhere near what you would have had if you would have started a little bit sooner. And it's still less than what you would have had if you started investing just a little bit earlier with a quarter of the amount of money. This is why how much time your money has to grow and compound is so important, which is why if you're in your 20s, you want to start investing sooner rather than later and understand markets go up and down and continue investing through the ups and downs. Second, instead of buying a home, buy a rental property. See, everybody talks about the value of you going out and buying a home in your 20s. But when you go out and buy a home to live in, the way that you make money is if you can sell this home for a profit. What some people like to say is if this home goes up in value, you can pull cash out. But that's kind of a risky game because if you're pulling cash out to go out and buy cars, you're using the money from your home to buy things that are losing value, like a car or a vacation. So let's not talk about that. People are hoping that you can buy this home for $400,000 and you'll be able to sell it for $500,000 10 years from now. But when you sell it, you're no longer gonna have a home to live in. Not to mention the fact that when you live in this home, you also have to pay for the property taxes out of your pocket. You have to pay for the insurance out of your pocket. You gotta pay for the maintenance out of your pocket. You gotta pay for the upgrades out of your pocket. And you have to pay for all the other expenses associated with the home ownership out of your pocket. Versus what worked well for me was buying rental properties in my 20s instead of worrying about buying a home. Now, if you don't have the money to go out and buy a rental property, just stick with me and I'll show you another option that you have. But now, instead of you going out and buying a home to live in where you gotta pay for all the expenses out of your pocket, when you go out and buy a rental property, now what you're doing is you're buying a property not to live in yourself, but to rent it out to somebody else. And if you do it correctly, now this property is gonna be generating cash flow through the rent. Now, this rent is gonna be used to cover the property taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, the management fees, the upgrades, and hopefully the mortgage as well, because if it's not paying for the mortgage and everything else, it is not a good cash flowing deal, and you wanna find a good deal that's covering all these expenses and then putting some money in your pocket as well. So now, when you have this rental property that's paying you money every single month, and then that rental property grows in value, well now you can sell that rental property and buy a bigger rental property. And there are a lot of tax shields that allow you to do this without paying any money in taxes. It's called a 1031 exchange. I'm not gonna go over that in this video, but what it allows you to do is if you bought this property for $400,000 and you sell it for $500,000, you can sell this, take that $500,000, go out and buy a bigger rental property that's paying you more cash flow and not have to worry about any of the property appreciation taxes. Now, of course, you get the same benefit if you went out and bought your own home and you sold your home for a profit. There are a lot of tax deductions there when you sell the home for a profit as well. However, when you have the repairs and upgrades here on the rental property, it's being paid for through the tenant's rental income that you're generating instead of paying for it out of your pocket. And then you can use this rental property income to help subsidize the home that you want to buy yourself. Now, if you're saying, but Jaspreet, I don't know if I have all the money to go out and buy a rental home and then buy a home for myself. Well, another thing that you could also consider is potentially house hacking, because what house hacking allows you to do is it allows you to do one of two things. House hacking number one is you can go out and buy a home like this to live in yourself. And when you buy a home to live in yourself, you get to qualify for lower mortgage rates, because when you buy a home to live in yourself, you get a primary residence mortgage, and your primary residence mortgage is a lower interest rate than an investment property mortgage. So now you go out and you get a primary residence mortgage to live in this home yourself. But one of the things that nearly every mortgage allows you to do is they allow you to move out after a year and one day, and then you can turn this property into your rental. So now, what does this mean? Well, now you can buy this property to live in. You live there for a year and a day because you have to have the intention to live there. Well, now your intention just has to be for a year and a day. And again, get an attorney to review your mortgage, but most mortgages will allow for this. You live in this property for a year and a day. Then after a year and a day, you move out, you buy another property, or you rent somewhere, or you move out, move somewhere else, and then you turn this property into a rental. And now because you lived there, you're able to qualify for a lower mortgage. And now you turn this property into a rental, and now you do it again and again and again. And you can do this as many times as you want, as long as you live in the property for a year and a day. And of course, talk to an attorney just to make sure that there are no specific clauses in your mortgage. But the second way that you can do house hacking is, what is a primary residence? Because a primary residence can be a single family home. It could be a condo. It could be a townhome, but it could also be a duplex, a triplex, or a quadplex. These things also qualify to be your primary residence. So now, if you want to go out and buy a home, you can go out and buy a property where you live in one unit and you have three other units attached because you buy a four-unit property, and now you rent out unit one, unit two, and unit three. You live in unit four, and now your neighbors are paying you rent every single month, and this rent can be used to cover some, if not all, of your mortgage. And then after a year and a day, well, guess what? You can also move out if you want and rent this unit out yourself. But because you're buying it to live in yourself, you still get to qualify for those lower mortgage rates because this is your primary residence. So when it comes to now going out to buy that home, instead of just thinking about buying the home that you want to live in for the rest of your life, you can also think about generating income for the rest of your life by either buying a rental property or by house hacking your rental property or by house hacking a multi-unit property. This way now you can start generating income for the rest of your life instead of just buying a property to live in, which, you know, when you have more money, you can buy a bigger property and not have to worry about the cost either. The third purchase that you want to consider making in your 20s is a cheap but reliable car, a good working condition car, something like a Toyota Corolla, a Toyota Camry, a Honda Accord, something that's used in good working condition that you don't have to worry about the payments for, that you can buy outright, and you don't have to spend a lot of money maintaining. And the reason why is because what ends up happening to so many people in their 20s is you finally start making that decent income. And as soon as you start making that decent income, what do you want to do? You want to get the BMW. You want to get the Mercedes, you want to get the Jaguar, you want to get something nice that looks like you're making a good income now. So now what ends up happening is you drive a car that looks like this, that every time you drive by, everybody says, "Ooh, nice car." But the price for that "Ooh, nice car" is you're going to be paying somewhere between $500 to $1,000 a month for this car, depending on how much money you're making. But let's just assume it's the low end. $500 a month for this car. Not to mention now you also got to pay the premium gas. Not to mention now you also have the more expensive insurance. Not to mention now you also have the more expensive maintenance, but we'll ignore that for now. We'll just take a look at this car payment. You also have to pay $8,000 down to buy this car, but now you just set yourself up for years, if not decades, for car payments. And you might say, "But Jasprit, what do you mean decades of car payments? I'm gonna pay off my car in 5 years." Well, what ends up happening to a lot of people now is you spend $500 a month for 5 years. And then you finally pay off this car after paying $500 a month for years, and then you no longer have a car payment. Now your car is worth less than half what you bought it for, and now it feels weird not to have a car payment, so you do what everybody else does. You trade it in, because now when this car is 5 years older, it's now an old car. And now you want to trade it in for a newer car, and now you start the payments all over again. So now, after those 5 years, instead of paying $500 a month, now you're paying $650 a month. You want to know why? Because inflation happens. Cars are more expensive 5 years from now than they are today. And now you got to pay more money, and you're also making a little bit more money, so you want to have a nicer car to upgrade your lifestyle, because now you want the massaging seats in your car. So now you're paying $650 a month for your car. And now this happens year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. And now, instead of using this money in your 20s to invest into something like the economy, which I talked about in number one, or to something like a rental property, which is what I talked about in number two, or to something like your own business, which I haven't even talked about, but instead of doing that, you're using this money to invest into somebody else's dream life, somebody else's vacation, somebody else's college fund, because now you're paying the banker, you're paying BMW, you're paying Mercedes, and you're making them rich at your expense. And there's nothing wrong with you having nice cars. I just want you to be able to afford it first. I don't want you to have to worry about the price, because if you don't have the investments, but you have the nice car, your priorities are all in the wrong place. And this is where I want you to switch those priorities and understand, look, if you just bought a car with this $8,000 down payment, you took away this monthly mortgage because now you're driving a used Toyota Camry, well, guess what? Now you take this $500 a month and you put this into something like the economy, a rental property, your own business, something that's gonna make you more money. And over the course of your career, well, now this money can make you significantly richer. We talked about this in point number one. This is money that can be used to make yourself rich, to pay for your kids' college, even if you don't have kids yet. There's a lot of things that you can do with this additional money, but that requires you to make the sacrifice. And you're gonna say, "But Jasprit, that's easy for you to say." Well, yeah, it is, because I'm driving around in a beat-down Toyota Solara as well, and I understand the way this works because I've done it myself. The fourth thing that you're gonna wanna buy is some protection. So as you start making money in your 20s, what you're gonna realize is that taxes are expensive. You start getting paid, and now a big chunk of money is gonna automatically go to Uncle Sam in the form of taxes. And this is where you want to have at least some basic protection to make sure you're not overpaying in taxes, that you're maximizing your deductions. This might mean going out and getting a tax advisor. Now, I want you to be smart here. If you're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, you're a W-2 employee, you don't have any investments, you don't have any businesses, you don't need to go out and spend $1,000 on a tax advisor, okay? Maybe $100 just to have somebody review your tax return. But as you start to make more money, as you start to have more diversified streams of income, as you start to have more complex income sources, as you have more investments, that's when you want to start investing more money into a good tax advisor. And if you are a business owner, if you are investing in real estate, definitely now you have to go out and get a good tax advisor to make sure you're maximizing your tax breaks, your tax deductions, so you can pay the least amount of money in taxes as legally possible. Second, Now, as you start to make money, as you start to get married, as you start to have a family, you also want to think about now planning your estate. Get a good estate planning attorney. Yes, you want to do this even when you're young because, well, no one knows what's going to happen in life. So you want to protect yourself. You want to protect your family. That means maybe getting a will, maybe getting a trust. Talk to a good estate planning attorney based off of what is in your financial situation, but you want to start thinking about that sooner rather than later. Third, get a good attorney to protect you, especially if you're investing your money into things like real estate or if you have a business, because you don't want to own these assets under your own name. You want to have some protection there. What I mean by that is I own rental properties. Actually, scratch that. Jaspreet Singh owns zero rental properties, but Jaspreet Singh owns the companies that owns rental properties. What that means is I own these LLCs that own the properties inside of them. And the reason why is because if a tenant in a property sues the owner because they slipped and fell in the bathtub, because whatever reason, they only get to sue the owner of the property. Well, the owner of the property isn't me, it is the LLC. So it gives you an added layer of protection. This is why you want to make sure you have a good attorney on your side. Invest in getting a good attorney. It doesn't have to be the cheapest person. In fact, a good rule of thumb in life is sometimes, not every time, but sometimes you get what you pay for. And when you pay for the cheapest service, you end up getting the cheapest service. So understand that, and you wanna find the best value, the best bang for your buck, so shop around with that. But also when it comes to protection now, I also want you to think about life insurance, especially in your early 20s, because now as you're starting to make money, especially as you're starting to get married, especially if you're starting to have kids, you want to think about if you are the breadwinner of your family and something were to happen to you and you were to tragically pass away, hopefully that doesn't happen. We don't want that to happen, but if that were to happen, how would you be able to take care of your family? Now, the goal, if you've been watching any of my videos, is for you to have enough assets to pay for your expenses. You have enough assets to cover your financial expenses that if something were to happen to you, your family has the assets to cover the expenses. But if you don't have that yet, this is where something like term life insurance can come into play, because what term life insurance is it is a short-term insurance that you're paying into that only pays out if you were to die during the period of this term life insurance policy. It's relatively inexpensive compared to whole life insurance, and you don't get anything if you don't die, but you don't want to use it. And so the whole point here is if tragically worst case scenario happens, you have something like term life insurance to be able to protect you. So something you want to consider, especially now as you're getting married, especially if you're having kids, that way now your family has that financial protection as well. We're going to jump back into the show in just a minute, but before we do, here are a few words from our sponsor, Policy Genius. Term life insurance is a financial tool that you can use to protect your family in case of a tragedy, because if you are the breadwinner of a family and if something were to tragically happen to you and you lost your life, well, that's when term life insurance would kick in and give your family a check. That way, at least your family would be okay financially. Now, if you are looking for term life insurance, Policy Genius can help you because they are an insurance marketplace, so they can help you save money and find the best option for you. See, Policy Genius is an insurance marketplace. They're not an insurance carrier. So the way it works is you go onto their website and enter in a few pieces of information, which just takes a few minutes, and then they will present you with different term life insurance quotes from different insurance carriers. That way you can pick the best option for you. The Policy Genius service is completely free to use, and if you have questions, you can talk to a Policy Genius insurance expert and get unbiased advice to find the best option for you. The Policy Genius service is completely free, and if you have specific questions, you can talk to a Policy Genius insurance expert and get unbiased advice. So if you want to learn more and get a free term life insurance quote, I got the link to where you can do that with our sponsor Policy Genius down in the description below. Minority Mindset is a paid partner with Policy Genius, meaning if you use them, we will get compensated, but there's no additional cost to you. So if you want to learn more and get a free term life insurance quote with Policy Genius, I got the link to how you can do that down in the description below. And with that, let's go back to the show. The fifth thing that you're going to want to buy in your 20s as you start making money is you want to start buying your time back. What you'll realize is that time is your most valuable asset. It's the only thing that you cannot get more of. But what you can do is you can buy some of your time back by using your money to buy some of this time. Now, the way you do this is gonna depend on what you like doing or what you don't like doing. If you live in a colder area where it snows, you can pay somebody to shovel your snow. You can pay somebody to mow your lawn. You can pay somebody to do your clothes washing for you. You can pay somebody to get your groceries for you. If you make YouTube videos, you can pay somebody to edit your videos for you. And so now it's understanding, Are there ways for you to use the income that you're generating to pay somebody else to do something that you don't like doing? That way now either you can have your time back to have some freedom, which is what you want, or you can pay somebody to have your time back that you have time to earn more money. Like if your time is worth 30 bucks an hour and you can pay somebody 20 bucks an hour to mow your lawn, well now it makes sense to get that lawn mowed by somebody else so you can work on getting that $30 an hour so you have more money coming in. Now this is where you got to figure out what is worth buying your time back for and when it's the right time for you to do this. Because let's say you're starting a business. In the beginning of you building a business, you're not going to have the money or the resources to just hire a whole bunch of people. But as you start making money, you got to start figuring out when is the right time now for you to start distributing some of this money so you have some of the time back, either so you have some more freedom or so you have the time to earn more money. Number six is I want you to use your money to go out and buy some books. If you want to get an MBA level education without paying the price tag of an MBA, here's what you do. Go out and get 5 books on personal development. Get 5 books on money management and investing. Get 5 books on starting a business if you're an entrepreneur, or 5 books on growing in your career if you are not an entrepreneur. Get 5 books on leadership, and then get 5 books on biographies from people who are successful that you admire. Once you get these 25 books, I want you to read them. And once you read these books, start applying the knowledge that you learn. I guarantee you, if you read these 25 books over the next 12 months, you are going to be in a completely different mindset and a completely different skill set for you to see different levels of success in the rest of your life. And if you start this in your 20s, well, not only does your money compound, but your knowledge compounds as well, which is going to allow you not only to learn more, but live a much better and more fulfilling life. Number 7 is buy something to advance your health. Now, one of the things that I like to talk about is if you want to live a happy and fulfilling life, you have to live a fit life. And the way you live a fit life is by understanding the 4 different fitnesses in your life. I call this my quadrifit theory, where I believe there are 4 different fitnesses in life. You have to be physically fit, mentally fit, spiritually fit, and financially fit. And this is where you want to be investing in these different types of fitnesses. What this means is if you are obese, if you're not eating healthy, if you know that you're not physically healthy, take care of this sooner rather than later, because everything compounds. Money compounds, knowledge compounds, but bad habits also compound. If you're physically unhealthy, this is the only vehicle you get. Your body is the only vehicle you get. Take care of it. Invest in it. Get a gym membership. Get a nutritional coach. Get a trainer. Get help to be more physically fit. If you're mentally unfit, if you're surrounded by toxic people, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're unhappy, invest in this. Get a therapist, get a consultant, go out and get other therapies, get other help to help you on your mental health side of things. On your spiritual fitness, this doesn't have to be religious, this is your fulfillment. What is the reason for you getting up every single morning? And especially as you start to make more money, this is going to become so much more important, because you can have $1 million in the bank, but if you have no sense of purpose, well now who cares? Right? And so this is where now understanding what is your sense of purpose? What are you here for? What is the reason for getting out of bed every single morning? If you need help with this, invest in a coach to help you with this. Same with your financial fitness. Invest in your financial fitness. Invest in your financial well-being. Read books. Take classes. Invest time into your financial health and your financial education, because most of this stuff are things we never learned in school. And you want to know, how do you invest your money? What are good ways to invest? How do you live below your means? How do you now go out to earn more money? Invest in your financial education. Number 8 is buy a wedding ring. Now this one, let me give you a little bit of a background on. I got married in my late 20s. And as somebody who grew up in a traditional Indian house, let me tell you, the Indian weddings are expensive. And I knew early on in my life that I wanted to pay for my wedding. And that mindset helped me to start planning to save money for things like my wedding ring before I even met my wife. So if you know you want to get married, you also know that getting married comes with expenses like a wedding, if that's something that you want, and a wedding ring. And if you know these are parts of a marriage, well, might as well start saving for that and planning for that, even if you haven't met your partner yet, because if you plan on meeting a partner one day, you know that these expenses are going to come up, so might as well start planning for it sooner rather than later. Because what you don't want to do is either A, figure out, we can't afford the wedding of your dreams. We can't afford the wedding of my dreams. Or even worse, B, let's go into debt to fund the wedding of our dreams. Don't do that. If you know you want to get married, start planning for it sooner rather than later. Put some additional cash aside, especially if you're young, to start planning for this, because now you're thinking ahead. You know that you're going to have this expense in the future, and now you're starting to put this money aside to fund that when the time comes. And I don't talk too much about this, but let me just add this in there right now. A good partner is also a very good investment, because a good partner is going to help you want to achieve your goals, and a good partner is going to want to work with you on your financial goals together. Maybe they don't come from the same "I want to become financially successful" mindset as you, but they need to work with you to get on the same page and understanding now that if you want to have a good life partner, you got to be on the same page financially as well. Now, they might not be at the same page today. That's okay. Most people are not at that page of "I want to become financially successful." Most people are in that mindset of "Who cares? Let's just spend money. That's normal." But this is where you want to work with your partner and talk to them about, "Hey, let's work together to become wealthy so we can have more nice things in the future." And now understanding, how can you speak your partner's language? If your partner is a guy, talk to them with more logic. If your partner is a female, talk to them with more emotional side of things, because guess what? Female brains work more emotionally, male brains work more logically. Understand how to speak with your partner. If you're looking for a good book on this, I recommend a book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which talks about how men and women think and talk differently. Number 9, spend some money on what touches the ground. Somebody told me this a while back and it stuck with me, and I've seen the impact of this now in my 30s. Things that touch the ground include your shoes, your tires, and your bed. And these are three places where it makes sense for you to invest some money into. Talking about shoes first. I used to run my shoes into the ground. Well, if we go before that, I used to be really into shoes, but my parents didn't want to buy me a $100 pair of Jordans. So I used to buy $20 or $25 fake Jordans from China. I don't remember how I got them, but somehow I found a way to get these $25 fake Jordans from China. Then when I realized that I don't want to keep spending money on shoes because I was trying to be financially smart, I ran my shoes into the ground where I had holes in the shoes, and then I would duct tape my shoes because I didn't want to spend any money on shoes. Then I started learning about investing your money into things that touch the ground, and I started buying nicer shoes. Now, I love walking. It's a weird thing that I like doing, but I love walking. I can spend hours walking at a time. And when I was walking in shoes that were not very good, I realized that, well, my knees would start to hurt and my back would start to hurt, and it was just weird. And I was like, why am I feeling these pains? Like, I'm physically fit, I'm doing all these things. But then I started investing in nicer shoes, and that was kind of weird for me. Like, why would I want to pay $120 for a pair of shoes? That's a lot of money. But then I started doing that, and I started to realize, whoa, immediately my knees stopped hurting. I started to walk a lot better, and I could walk easier. And so now I buy nicer shoes, and I buy shoes much more often, which is weird to me, because before I'd buy shoes for years and never change them. Now I'm buying multiple pairs of shoes a year because I put a lot of miles on my shoes. Same with my bed. I spent a lot of money on the bed that me and my wife sleep on. And it helps. If you can get a good night of sleep, well then you can get up and be more energized and do your work even better. And even when you're tired, especially if you're living in a colder state, I'm from Detroit, if you're living in a colder state where you're seeing snow on the ground, especially have good tires, because if you don't have good tires, well, you're risking your life, okay? So get some good tires, get a good bed, get a good pair of shoes, because that can help you in all different parts of your life. Number 10, invest in travel strategically. Now, for most of my life, I was never a big traveler. I went to India pretty often as a kid because I had family in India. Once in a while, I'd go to Cancun, and then maybe we'd go drive to Toronto or something. That was kind of the extent of my travel growing up as a kid. But then once I got into my late 20s, that was when I started traveling a little bit more. And this travel started to happen more because I was invited to travel for work. And I was always hesitant to travel because I never really wanted to spend the money on travel. But when I was able to go for work and have it as a business expense, now it made more sense for me to travel. But one of the things that I learned as I was traveling is I was able to, number one, meet more people, but I was also able to see different business opportunities that I wasn't able to see when I was just in my office. And it sounds weird saying this, because I'm not a huge fan of necessarily just going to conferences and doing that fake networking where you're just passing up business cards to people that don't care. I don't like doing that. But there is value in going to events where you know you're going to be able to meet certain types of people, and you can talk to people, and you can learn how different people do certain things. And not only that, you'll see different cultures in different parts of even the country that you're living in. Like for me, when I started spending time in SoCal, San Diego and LA, I was shocked because the culture in San Diego and LA is very different than Detroit. And then when I got to spend time in Manhattan, I was shocked again because the culture in Manhattan is very different than the culture in LA, which is very different than the culture in Detroit. And you start to realize, wow, people do business very different there versus there versus there. And now for me, I'm learning about how business is done every different place so I can apply it to my own. And this has helped me make a lot more money, but also understand the way different people operate, the way different people spend money, the way different people think about money, especially because, well, everything that we do at Briefs Media is about financial education. Our goal is to help people be better with money, and it helps to understand how different people approach financial situations differently because people in different parts of the country look at money very differently. And if you're not sure what Briefs Media is the company that we run. We have a product called Market Briefs. This is our flagship newsletter. It is a free newsletter where every day my team is working to break down what's happening in things like the economy, the housing market, the stock market, crypto, and the global economy into a fun, witty, and easy-to-read newsletter. You can read Market Briefs in less than 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. So if you haven't joined Market Briefs yet and you want to join, it's completely free. I got the link to how you can join down in the description below, where you can go to briefs.co/market. That's briefs.co/market. And finally, last but not least, is number 11, make some practical purchases. Look, as you're starting your wealth journey, what you're going to realize is some people hate it when you spend money at Starbucks. Some people hate it when you spend money buying extra guac when you can make the guac a whole lot cheaper. And what you want to also understand is that the reason why people are broke, it's not because they buy Starbucks. It's not because they pay for extra guac. It's because their whole finances are out of whack. And what you'll realize then is that there's a certain time for you to go out and spend money at things like Starbucks and buy that extra guac. And there are certain times where it makes more sense for you to just make it at home. And this is where now you can start to realize on the more practical side, maybe it makes sense for me to buy my avocados myself. Because now you can save a lot of money by buying the avocados yourself or cooking yourself. There will be other times where you're going out for an experience and now you wanna go out and buy the extra guac, you wanna go out and buy the coffee, you wanna go out and buy the tea, fine. But for your daily consumption, you can save a lot of money, especially as you're in the foundational part of building your wealth by just making things at home. So from the practical side, that means buying your avocados, get yourself a tea kettle, and make these things at home. That way you can save that money, especially in the early stages. As you start to make more money, if you can afford it, go out and buy whatever the heck you want. I don't care if you're buying Starbucks. I don't care if you're buying extra guac. Just make sure you can afford the extra guac first. And I'll leave you with kind of a funny story. Last weekend, my parents told me that they did something for the first time in this country that they've never done before. And I said, what's that? And they told me that they went out to an Indian tea house. Now, just so you know, in the Indian culture, drinking tea, some people like to call it chai. In Punjabi, my native language, we call it cha. This is a staple. Drinking Indian tea is a staple in our culture. And my parents, my mom especially, drinks her chai multiple times a day, every day. And so now they told me that for the first time of them being in America, they went to an Indian tea house and they drank tea. And it was a funny story because my mom said, I couldn't believe how expensive it was. I said, what happened? She said, we ordered two chais with a dessert. And she's like, it cost $10. I was like, $10? That doesn't sound too bad. She's like, yeah, $10. It was crazy. I was like, oh yeah, that's a lot of money. Then she's telling me that they go to sit down. The guy delivers them the tea. They give them one cup of tea and one dessert. And she's like, where's the other cup of tea? And he said, oh, sorry, I must have messed up the order. I only rang you up for one cup of tea and one dessert. So the $10 she paid wasn't for two cups of tea and one dessert. It was one cup of tea and one dessert. And she thought that was really expensive. It would have cost 15 or 16 bucks for two cups of tea and one dessert. So kind of a funny story where, yeah, sometimes it's more practical for you to make things at home. And you got to figure out when is the right time for you to do that. Because sometimes it's cheaper to make the guac at home. Where income can buy you fancy vacations, and you don't even necessarily need a ton of income to be able to buy that stuff because thanks to easy debt, you can go out and finance all these nice things so you can look like you're rich. But if you really want to become wealthy, that means now you have the assets. You own the investments, you own the businesses, you own the stocks, you own the rental real estate that can pay for this lifestyle for you.